focus on what I have to do in my life to be the best person I can possibly be. And, you know, to become the best version of myself, you know, by going to the gym, by eating right, by being a good parent, by being a good husband, all these different things, you know. But above all, you have to be willing to let go of any type of negativity that other people have towards you, because it won't have any bearing on their life.
Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know. Share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further. Welcome back to another episode of Weiss Advice. I am your host, as always, Yona Weiss, together with Agostino Pintas. Today, on a beautiful day, I'm excited to get down into this episode. How you doing today, Agostino?
Man, I'm awesome. Any day above ground is a good day, right?
Absolutely. Guys, if you don't know Agostino, he is the host of the Bulletproof Cashflow podcast. In fact, one of the first podcasts I was a guest on many, many years ago. And he's a real estate investor doing incredible things with multifamily acquisitions, now development, got incredible stuff coming down the pipeline, and just excited to speak with you today. So thanks again for coming on the show.
Yeah, you bet, man. Thanks for the invite. Appreciate it.
When I was asked to come on your podcast, you know, way back when, I didn't even know what a podcast was, you know?
I remember that. That was like almost 4 years ago, I think.
Probably, right? Yeah, right. Pretty incredible. And you started that. You were doing it before it was cool, you know, before everyone and their mother had a podcast.
Well, I wish that were the case. But there were a few out there. Now it seems everybody's got one, but hey, you know what? There's plenty of room to find your tribe. That's the thing. You know, that's what these shows are all about, is finding your tribe, finding people to build a community. That's the way I look to look at it. Yeah, building a community. Yeah.
That's right. I mean, you've done a great job of doing that, with not only through that, but through Facebook. And I know you have meetups. You used to do that before COVID, right? Yeah. Having in-person meetups and stuff. And obviously the podcast and these type of things are great ways to highlight other people. It's one of the things I love to do, but also it's, you know, a great way just to educate your community, because real estate investing is something that people think, oh, that's not for me. I mean, you didn't start out in real estate investing. I'd love to get a little bit of your background, a little bit of backstory, how you got involved, because coming from a corporate career into jumping into real estate, how'd you make that transition?
Well, I mean, one thing is that I've been an entrepreneur my entire life, since I was a kid, you know, since I was like 9, 10 years old. I had an aptitude for computers back then, right? So I had it in my head that I wanted to have my own computer company. So back in the 80s, if there was a keyboard attached to something, to a screen, I was there. I would make a beeline right to that device and I'd learn everything I could about it. So it's like I had technical aptitude along with being an entrepreneur. I wanted to have my own thing, right? And my parents, you know, I'm first generation Italian, so my parents are off the boat. For them, it's like, you know what? Entrepreneurship is high risk. It's scary. You should not do that. You should go get a job. So right. I listened to my parents. I go into corporate America, and I had some success in corporate America, you know, but it just wasn't for me. You know, that's the thing. It just, you know, towards the end of my stint in corporate, but at that point, I reached C-level executive, making six-figure income and all that fun stuff. And I didn't want to be there anymore, man. I got burnt out on it. You know, is that I wasn't living my true potential. It's like, is this all I can do? And it's not a slam on corporate America. If people love corporate America, right, fine. It's okay. It just wasn't for me. That's what it is. It just wasn't for me. And I finally decided, you know what? I'm leaving this. I'm going to go do this on my own. And that's exactly what I did. You know, I started studying on my own. You know, back then, so we're talking like almost 6 years ago, like now there's a podcast circuit, there's training programs, and right, it's all over the place, right? It's all over the internet, whatever. Back then, I mean, it might've been out there. I just didn't know about it. I was learning from the classic teachers, if you will, like Robert Kiyosaki and these guys. And even those guys didn't tell you the technical specifics around how to do a deal, right? They just said, do real estate and here's why. So I had to learn on my own. You know, I learned on my own from guys like Carlton Sheets. You probably don't even know who that is.
No, nope, right? Not even.
Guy from the 70s, right? I found some of his material, started learning about subject twos and all these, mainly single family stuff, but it really applies to some degree in multifamily to some extent. And I just started doing deals on my own. I had to learn what syndication was. A syndication attorney told me about it. And I started putting my own deals together with my friends. And one of these friends was Kenny Wolf, one of our common friends. Right. Since then, Kenny and I have just blown it up. Now, we started with single multifamily because I've been doing multifamily. And then we partnered up with Kenny, started doing a whole lot more.
Yeah.
And now we're doing development as well. As a matter of fact, our development portfolio, it will exceed, well, we have, so far we have way more in development. We have zero in the pipeline when it comes to acquiring stabilized acquisition. We have over $100 million as of this recording of just development stuff here in Cleveland. That's it. You know, and then we have our net lease business that I'm not doing with Kenny, I'm doing with some other partners. But the net lease business is a great way to develop good, solid monthly returns, right?
Yeah, just solid cash flow. But you also, you know, you still own a bunch of multifamily real estate properties, right?
Oh, yeah. We still have like over 1,600 units at this point. Again, I'm a big believer in focus, and we focus just on the Cleveland market. Mm-hmm. We also have developments that are currently under development. I'm in right now at the Rockefeller. Yes, the Rockefeller building, John D. Rockefeller's old office in downtown Cleveland. You know, this is going to be a $135 million asset when it's done. So very, very exciting.
It's incredible.
You know, we're talking the green room. Should have been doing this a whole lesson. You know, it's like, even though we're very, very busy, we're entering some scary times right now, economy and such, I still would rather be doing what I'm doing now than working in corporate, 100%.
So obviously you said you were kind of burnt out from just that feeling of not fulfilling your potential in, you know, the entrepreneurship, something that obviously now it seems like multifamily and the real estate investing, the syndication has given you that fulfillment. What is it about this that, you know, now that you're full in it, you know, 5-6 years in, where you have a, you know, few hundred million dollars of, you know, assets under management and development deals going on, what's the ultimate goal? I mean, is it just the process, or is it, you know, is there something you're working towards?
Okay, so
that's a big question. I know.
There's a bunch of questions in there, right? So I will say this, the ultimate goal, you know, it wasn't the goal of leaving a legacy. It wasn't all that important until I had my boy, my son, right? And at that point, leaving a legacy became important to me, you know? So part of what I'm doing is I'm building this portfolio, and I talk to him all the time about it too. I go, son, you can do anything you want with your life as long as it's real estate. You know, I tell him that, right? I'm joking, of course. But part of it is that, you know, I do explain the huge benefits of real estate. So I'm building this in the hopes that one day he'll want to take this over. I'm creating the instruction manual by doing these talks with you, talks with the show, right? Imagine having your old man tell you when you're like 60, how to do a deal, right? How cool is that, right? You know, so a part of all the material we put out there, of course, I do it to help other folks, but it's also an instruction manual for my son, right? That's the why, you know, but here's the thing about real estate that I realized early on. When I was a tech entrepreneur, and I try to come up with all these different technologies, just different things that today are commonplace in terms of like browser-based technology to secure your communication between people, for instance, right? I was coming up with stuff like that a very long time ago. For me to get money to even build a prototype was like pulling teeth. It was ridiculous. It was crazy, right? Imagine going to the Bank of America and asking them, hey, would you give me a loan for, you know, $500,000 to go and build this app to try to pound salt, right? Right? Meanwhile, if I want to go buy a property, hell, they'll give you 80% of the debt on it, right? So what does it tell you? It tells you that the banks love real estate. They won't give you the money to do a deal on your own for writing software or whatever, but they will give you 80% of debt on an asset. Even ask them, hey, I'll tell you what, can I borrow $500,000 to buy some Bank of America stock? They'd still tell you to pound salt, but they'll take that $500,000 and they'll easily do a deal with you, right? So it's like the banks love it, and there's a reason why they love it, right? If the real estate, this real estate, for instance, has been here for over 100 years, it'll probably be here for 100 more. You know, it's not going anywhere, right? And it generates cash flow.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the fundamental thing, though, too, Yona, is that the deals that we're doing, specifically the deals that we do, are all cash flow deals. There's no speculation. There's no guesswork. I'm not really big into all that. You know, some people are, and it's okay. You know, I don't do New York City, Los Angeles. I spent a lot of time in New York. I lived there for a little while. And it's a high degree of speculation. You know, it's like you're betting against the market. And that's not what I'm into. I like cash flow, right? So if you do the right deals, and you do them responsibly, then you win, all your investors win. I mean, the formula is not that complicated. That's why I love real estate.
Yeah.
It's somewhat easy to do. And if you do it right, you're creating communities that people get to live in and they get to enjoy their lives. You get to enjoy your life, and it provides a high degree of freedom for the people putting these deals together. That's ultimately what it is. You know, the success, if you will, is having freedom, you know, and not just financial freedom, but freedom in your mind as well, that you don't have to worry about, you know, dreading Mondays and praying for Fridays. I used to live that way. I'll never do that again, man. I'll never do that again.
Sure. No, when you have a fulfilling, you know, purpose, when you enjoy what you do and you see the results. I mean, that's really the amazing thing, is that a lot of times you're working in a company, you may not see the results. You know, even if you're building a program, it may take years and years. Here you're seeing results. You're seeing investors that are getting returns. They're happy. Especially, you know, you do a refinance, something like that. Everyone's happy. The bank's happy. You're happy. Investors are happy. And hopefully you're building communities where the tenants are happy. And, you know, all around, it's a win-win. Yeah. I mean, that's the ultimate goal. I can't imagine what it would be like to work in a unfulfilling career for so long and then, you know, just paycheck to paycheck for a lot of people as well. It sounds like if you have that entrepreneur spirit in you, which I think can be honed, I think almost everyone has something in it, you just got to buckle down and take the leap, take the jump. I mean, you did it. You took a leap of faith for all intents and purposes, right? You just kind of gave up this C-suite level career and just jump right into real estate, doing your first deal without much experience.
Yeah. Well, but you know what though? The thing is that we have a finite amount of time. I think it was Cicero, or was it Marcus Aurelius, that said that we live our lives as if we're going to be here forever. You know, it's always tomorrow. Put it off to tomorrow. Put it off to tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that we don't, you know, and I realized that, unfortunately, I mean, later on, of course, right? And that we're not here forever. And I used to, like you said, you know, working, I'm not poo-pooing corporate America. If someone loves it, it's great. It just wasn't for me. And yeah, man, I mean, I was living that life. I couldn't stand it. It was killing me, you know? And I think something they said too resonates with me as well. It's kind of like you don't see the direct fruits of your labor. And when you're in corporate, working for the big machine, it's kind of like you're almost treated that way as well. Like, you know, like, I just didn't like that, man. It's not what I was into. You know, I was making some decent cash, man. I mean, well, decent cash, you know, what I thought was decent cash. I was like, I remember those days, wow, $200,000. That's great. Wow. It's like, now it's like, I don't know how you live off that. Now it's done. It's crazy. It's crazy how the mind shifts.
Yeah. So real estate comes with its own perks.
It does. It does. But you know what though? And that, I think, unlike many of the gurus out there, we're talking a little bit in the green room about this too. A lot of gurus out there make it sound like this is easy. It's cake. No, absolutely not. It is not cake and it's not easy. It's a lot of work. And either you got to be willing to do the work and do the effort that it takes to put these deals together and see it all the way through, or you can partner up with somebody that is very, very good. They're a great operator. They know what they're doing. They have a good track record, good success record. You can do that too. That's a great thing about this business is that, I don't know, what, 10, 15 years ago, there was syndication. It existed. It's just that nobody knew about it. It was kind of like, it was all done at the country clubs.
If you knew, you knew, right?
Yeah. We all talked about the country clubs, you know, and then we didn't hear about it. But, you know, now it's like there's so many choices, either fortunately or unfortunately. But if you align yourself with the right people, you don't have to do all this stuff on your own. That's the thing. Yeah. I mean, it's a team sport, you know, and that's the great thing about this game is that if you get yourself into some good properties, some good cash flowing deals, you're going to win, you know, no guesswork, no BS, right?
Listen, you're obviously have been involved in this. You're sitting in the Rockefeller building as we speak. It's a development. I remember a few years ago when you came to New York, you know, pitching this project. It looked like an incredible project. That was a lot of fun. But what I've seen is that, you know, doing this huge, like huge redevelopment of this, you know, old building, bringing it new, bringing it to life. And you're obviously not doing it on your own. You don't have the development background. Obviously, you're learning things along the way, yeah. I'm sure. There's so many moving parts to it. But I think to your point, finding those right people that do have that experience and you come in and bring your skill set and everyone can, you know, can grow together.
No, that's right. It's, you know, aside from Kenny, my business partner, we align with Dice, who's their design build shop. You see, like, I don't want to turn this into a development show here, but what I learned when it comes to the team, right? And this is something to carry over from the multifamily world, right? You have to have a very strong team. And Geis, very strong team, but it's also, they do the whole thing. They do the design, They did the build, they did the interior design, they did the management, they take care of the whole shebang, right? And it's not going to be the cheapest, but the end quality product will be great. And they're handling the whole scenario, right? In Detroit, when I was growing up in Detroit working in the automotive, which is, you know, really rough guys, we used to call it one throat to choke, right? That's what we used to call it. Not that they want to choke people out.
Sure.
But it's more like they're taking responsibility for the entire project. And there's something to say about that. You know, I did learn that, you know, and so instead of, I guess the message there is if you're going to take on a development project, try to find a group that can do the whole thing for mm-hmm. you, you know, and then they have a vested interest in the deal.
That's amazing.
And one check to deliver the complete product. There's a lot to that. Yeah.
How'd you guys find that deal in the first place? It sounds like, you know, if you find the developer, but you have to find the deal to kind of partner up. And then there's the third part, which is the money, which is obviously where you and Kenny come in. But finding that deal, like, sounds like this was just a needle in the haystack. I mean, how do you buy a skyscraper that has such historical value to a city and just sitting there?
Oh, we got lucky. I wish I could say, it's like, how much more time do we have? All right, so let me see. It is quite the story because this deal, this asset was a much sought after asset. Over the past 30 years up to that point, 25 groups that tried to buy this thing. And these are not slouches. These are not like weak individuals. These are very well capitalized folks. A lot of guys out of New York, a lot of guys out of California, local people, they had the money, they couldn't get it done. And up until that point, I had no idea, right? All I knew is that when I was told about this deal, that it might be available, it was about to get under contract when Kenny and I first heard about it. When we were driving up the street and we saw it, I'm like, all I knew is I got to have that deal. I got to have it. So the first thing that I had to do was commit to getting that deal. Come hell or high water, I will get that deal, you know? So it's kind of like, it's a must.
It's a mindset.
Because if you don't have that, first and foremost, if you don't say, I got to have it, you're never going to get it. It's something I learned in the multifamily space for doing so many deals. But we met with the owner, this older gentleman. He's over 90 years old, right? This guy was as tough as nails, right? He owned a bunch of other stuff all over Cleveland and experienced guy, okay? He wanted to do things his way, my way mm-hmm. or the highway. And a lot of these other people coming in, trying to do deals with them, they're pushing back, they're being difficult. You know, in my opinion, they're being difficult. Mm-hmm. It's really, you know what? Give them what they want. If you want a deal, give them what they want, man. It's just, don't be a jerk about it. How bad do you want that deal? How bad do you want it?
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's like, he would not let us inspect every single floor. He wouldn't let us do it. So I'm like, fine, I guess we're not going to do it then. He was like, oh, really? Yeah, okay. All the floor plates are the same. We're tearing everything out anyway. Who cares?
Right.
You know, so where other guys are coming in, they're saying, we want to inspect every single floor. We want access to this. Don't do that. The guy's a hard time with it. How bad do you want the deal? Mm-hmm. How bad do you want it? You know, so it required a high degree of flexibility.
Yeah.
We actually lost it the first time. We bid for the deal. We outbid the other guy. And then they came in the last minute and outbid us. And then the sellers ended up going with them. They couldn't perform. So they came back to us. So we got it under contract. And then, of course, COVID hit. And all the lenders, we had two committed lenders, both of them dropped out. So we had no lenders. We had over, I think, about $280,000 in escrow.
Yeah.
We had $1 million in soft costs racked up. And
yeah, you're not talking about a small deal. This was like $100 million deal or something. No, it's not what you paid for it, but that's what it's worth.
It's going to be worth $135 million when it's done. But yeah, I mean, at the time, the acquisition price is just over $13 million. So we're not talking about a giant deal here. But when you're trying to do it in the middle of all this COVID mess, all the lenders, a high degree of uncertainty, all the lenders just stop lending, right. All of them, you know, especially on development. My God, it was ridiculous. So we ended up, we found one lender and all we had was a term sheet. We didn't even have like an actual like agreement. All we had was a term sheet. So we have to basically tell the sellers, like our due diligence is about to come up and our money was going to go hard. We had, I think it was 4 or 5 days prior to that strike date that was supposed to take place. We had to extend due diligence. And it's like, now we're right there at the very end and we had no lender because all the lenders left. So I said to the sellers, I'll tell you what, here's what we're going to do. If you guys agree, we will release the $280,000 in escrow. We'll put in another $250,000 in escrow, and we'll increase the price by $100K. But we need another 2 months to close because all the lenders dried up.
Sure.
We're not trying to obfuscate anything. We're always maintaining an open line of communication. That's super important. Mm-hmm. Always maintaining a line of communication. And they took it. They said, fine, you know? And I mean, it was scary, man. I'll tell you, it was scary. It was a scary deal, you know? But it comes down to how bad do you want the deal? How bad do you want it? You know, are you willing to do whatever it takes to get it done?
Right.
And that's what we did, man. I mean, got it nailed down, and it's been a long road. It's not been easy, mainly because of these types of deals. It's a very complicated capital stack, right? You have opportunity zone. You have other types of financing, a port authority financing. You have huge tax abatement. That's huge.
Right.
These large deals. I mean, it's very beneficial once you put it all together, but it just takes a little bit to put it together.
Yeah.
Right. But it looks like soon here we'll be starting to swing hammers and get this thing rolling. So we're very excited about it. We're very excited about it.
It sounds like it. I mean, it's an exciting deal. And it sounds like that, I mean, that main lesson that you brought out, which is if you really want something, you have to put your mind in the place that you're going to get something done. And if you commit to it, right, that's half the problem, right? If you commit to the goal, you'll get it. But I think even more importantly, at least from my perspective, is just the emotional intelligence that it takes to understand the seller, because that's how you're going to win a deal.
Yeah.
We've heard, you know, millions of stories of sellers that want certain conditions and are difficult to work with. And the question is, are you going to be the bigger person? Are you going to come to the negotiating table with that open mind in order to get the deal? Because the seller may or may not go with the best offer, right? They're going to go with who they think they can deal with and who they think can close and who they think they actually want to work with, because it's not a simple road necessarily. You've proved that point by this story.
I mean, that's the thing, Yona. It's like, we have a reputation of being easy to work with. We don't retrade. We don't mess around. It isn't like I get a deal locked up under contract and then wait just before due diligence is up and then come back to you and say, I want a discount. Rates change. Yeah. I want a discount. There's guys that operate that way. And you only need one deal to do that. And then that broker, you're on the naughty list. You're done. That's the thing. I mean, there's a reason why brokers want to work with us. You know, we don't screw around. We tell you exactly what we're going to do and we do it. It's called integrity.
Yeah.
So, and you know, it's one of those things that without that integrity, it makes it very, very difficult to build success. You have to have integrity. It's a must. Absolutely. Yeah.
100%. Well, Augustino, I want to transition now to what we call the final four. These are four questions I ask all my guests. First one to you is, what's the worst job that you ever had?
So it's funny. But the worst job that I had was, it wasn't the job itself as much as it was the person that I was working for. You know, so I was a director of IT, easy job for me to handle. That was my background, was technology. But the guy I was working for was a little bit of a psychopath. It was clinical on medication. So it was kind of like, I made for a very dreadful job. The lesson there is, it's not so much the job as much as it is who you work with.
Right. You know?
And once I understood what I was working with, I got away from that situation. Because it's not, like I said before, we're here for a finite amount of time. Mm-hmm. And if you're using the glycogen in your brain to process the justifying why you're hanging around, so to speak, with this bad folks, versus spending time doing what you want to do or working in a different place. You know, again, we're not here on this planet forever, you know?
Yeah.
It's do what you love. Do what you love.
Yeah.
You
know? 100%. Yeah. Yeah. And work with the right people.
Work with the right people. 100%. Yeah.
All right. Second question. What's a book you've read that's given you a paradigm shift?
It's funny. Everything now goes through the lens of that book called On the Shortness of Life by Seneca. It's a very short, I wouldn't even call it a book as much as it's a 25 pages, I think. And anybody can listen to it. It's on YouTube. You can go listen to it. And I highly suggest that everybody listen to this thing. That was the paradigm shift that took place when I was working at one of my last jobs that I ever participated in. And that's when I realized that we are here. We're here for the right amount of time is how the book puts it. We're here for the right amount of time. It's what you choose to do with it that matters, right? Do you choose to spend time with the wrong people, or do you make the decision to change your life, become more, you know? And again, it's one of those things that at the point early in my life, I probably wasn't prepared to hear that message. And it's funny how that works, right? You may hear the same message over and over and over again, but then one day it clicks, right?
That's right. Absolutely. It's right. You know, you have to be in the right place at the right time to hear the message, for sure.
And the right mental condition too. Yeah, everything. You know, that's the book that changed my life when I realized, when I sat down and listened to it for real, like actually listened to it, not passively listened to it, actually listened to that book. That's how I consume books. I listen to them. I realized that, you know, I'm not here on this planet forever. I better hustle. That's kind of the reason why it's like all this development stuff that we're doing. Like we have over $100 million worth of stuff right now.
Right.
That's just for this year, by the way.
Right.
That's just for this year. And the next year, I'm going to do another $100 million of development.
At least.
So it's like, because I know I'm not going to be on this planet forever. And if I'm going to leave that legacy I talked about, better step it up.
You got to get
so
there.
That's the book.
That's right.
That book helped me really process that.
Amazing. Wow. Okay. So we'll make sure to put that in the show notes for everyone to check out. Hopefully my editors can find the YouTube link also, and we'll put that in the show notes. So third question, which I mistakenly started for the second question, which is what's a skill or talent that you would like to learn?
You know, flying an airplane.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I've been kicking around again, getting a pilot's license. And the one thing about freedom is having the ability to choose what you can do when you want to do it. And that to me is huge. And I really don't like flying. Not because I'm afraid of flying. I just would rather just have my own plane, man. That's all that it is. I just want to have my own plane. So
there you go.
That's part of having freedom.
There you go.
That's one thing I'm going to be taking up here very soon. I just got to commit the time to do it. So probably next couple of weeks, got to do that. Yeah.
Very cool. Good for you. Yeah. Get your plane, fly out to wherever you need to go. Makes life much more convenient.
It does.
I'm sure. All right. Well, the fourth and final question, which is what does success mean to you?
That's the second part of freedom, right? And that success is freedom. And the ability to get to places and have money available to you is one thing. I think the other part that I learned fairly recently, I couldn't find the words to put this together, and I've realized that there are words. Adlerian psychology says that freedom comes about whenever you don't have to care about what other people think about you, right? Whether they don't like you or whatever.
Right.
I'm not saying you have to go out and, you know, try to get people to get upset with you. That's not what I'm saying. But it's more along the lines of, if you can get to a point in your life where it doesn't matter, you're not busy trying to please everybody, then that's true freedom. That's true success. You know, I'm sure there's people out there that don't like me. Sorry if you don't like me. You know, too bad. Sorry. And that's okay. And I've tried to become very comfortable with that. You know, some people can't, you know, but I just focus on what I have to do in my life to be the best person I can possibly be. And, you know, to become the best version of myself, you know, by going to the gym, by eating right, by being a good parent, by being a good husband, all these different things, you know. But above all, you have to be willing to let go of any type of negativity that other people have towards you, because it will have any bearing on your life, you know. So that's what it is.
Love that. Yeah, yeah. Don't let what other people think affect you. Love that. Awesome. Well, finally, Agostino, where can our listeners find you or reach out to you?
Bulletproofcashflow.com. Like I said earlier at the beginning, we have a lot of material out there on YouTube as well. We have the Bulletproof Cashflow YouTube channel. You know, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on LinkedIn, we're all over the place. So, you know, send a message. I'd love to hear from people. You know.
Amazing. Okay. We'll make sure to put that down there as well. And appreciate you taking the time out. Great to always catch up and get speaking with you today.
Thanks again, man. Greatly appreciate it.
And to our listeners, you guys, thank you for joining all the way to the end. And remember, the best advice comes only when you ask. Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn. Send me a DM, a connection request, Yona Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.